Chapter 9. Isai Fomich, The Bathhouse, Baklushin's Story. Christmas was approaching. The convicts looked forward to it with a sort of solemnity, and looking at them, I too began to expect something unusual. 4 days before Christmas Day, they took us to the bathhouse. In my time, especially in the early years, the convicts were rarely taken to the bathhouse. All were pleased and began to get ready. It was arranged to go after dinner, and that afternoon there was no work. The one who was most pleased and excited in our room was Isai Fomich Bumstein, a Jewish convict whom I have mentioned in the fourth chapter of my story. He liked to steam himself into a state of stupefaction, of unconsciousness, and whenever I am going over old memories and I recall our prison baths, which deserve to be remembered, the blissful countenance of that prison comrade, whom I shall never forget, takes a foremost place in the picture. Heavens, how killingly funny he was! I have already said something about his appearance. He was a thin, feeble, puny man of 50, with a wrinkled white body like a chicken's, and on his cheeks and forehead, awful scars left from being branded. His face wore a continual expression of imperturbable self-complacency and even blissfulness. Apparently, he felt no regret at being in prison. As he was a jeweller, and there were no jewellers in the town, he worked continually at nothing but his own trade for the gentry and officials of the town. He received some payment for his work. He lacked for nothing, was even rich. But he saved money, and used to lend it out at interest to all the convicts. He had a samovar of his own, a good mattress, cups, and a whole dining outfit. The Jews in the town did not refuse him their acquaintance and patronage. On Saturdays he used to go with an escort to the synagogue in the town, which is sanctioned by law. He was in clover, in fact. At the same time, he was impatiently awaiting the end of his 12 years' sentence to get married. He was a most comical mixture of naivete, stupidity, craft, impudence, good nature, timidity, boastfulness, and insolence. It surprised me that the convicts never jeered at him, though they sometimes made a joke at his expense. Isai Fomich was evidently a continual source of entertainment and amusement to all.
"He is our only one. Don't hurt Isai Fomich," was what they felt.
And although Isai Fomich saw his position, he was obviously proud of being so important, and that greatly amused the convicts. His arrival in the prison was incredibly funny. It happened before my time, but I was told of it. One day, in the leisure hour towards evening, a rumour suddenly spread through the prison that a Jew had been brought and was being shaved in the guardroom, and that he would come in soon. There was not a single Jew in the prison at the time. The convicts waited with impatience and surrounded him at once when he came in at the gate. The sergeant led him to the civilian room and showed him his place on the common bed. Isai Fomich carried a sack in his arms containing his own belongings, together with the regulation articles which had been given to him. He laid down the sack, climbed onto the bed, and sat down, tucking his feet under him, not daring to raise his eyes. There were sounds of laughter and prison jokes alluding to his Jewish origin. Suddenly, a young convict made his way through the crowd, carrying in his hand his very old, dirty, tattered summer trousers, together with the regulation leg wrappers. He sat down beside Isai Fomich and slapped him on the shoulder.
"I say, my dear friend, I've been looking out for you these last 6 years. Look here, how much will you give?"
And he spread the rags out before him. Isai Fomich, who had been too timid to utter a word and so cowed at his first entrance that he had not dared to raise his eyes to the crowd of mocking, disfigured and terrible faces which hemmed him in, was cheered at once at the sight of the proffered pledge and began briskly turning over the rags. He even held them up to the light. Everyone waited to hear what he would say.
"Well, you won't give me a silver ruble, I suppose. It's worth it, you know," said the would-be borrower, winking at Isai Fomich.
"A silver ruble, no, but 7 kopecks, maybe?"
And those were the first words uttered by Isai Fomich in prison. Everyone roared with laughter.
7? Well, give me 7, then. It's a bit of luck for you. Mind you take care of the pledge. It's as much as your life's worth if you lose it."
"With 3 kopecks interest, makes 10.
The Jew went on jerkily in a shaking voice, putting his hand in his pocket for the money and looking timidly at the convicts. He was fearfully scared, and at the same time he wanted to do business.
3 kopecks a year interest, I suppose?
No, not a year, a month.
You're a tight customer, Jew. What's your name?
Isai Fomich.
Well, Isai Fomich, you'll get on fine here. Goodbye.
Isai Fomich examined the pledge once more, folded it up carefully, and put it in his sack in the midst of the still laughing convicts. Everyone really seemed to like him, and no one was rude to him, although almost all owed him money. He was himself as free from malice as a hen, and seeing the general goodwill with which he was regarded, he even swaggered a little, but with such simple-hearted absurdity that he was forgiven at once. Lutschka, who had known many Jews in his day, often teased him, and not out of ill-feeling, but simply for diversion, just as one teases dogs, parrots, or any sort of trained animal. Isai Fomich saw that clearly, was not in the least offended, and answered him back adroitly.
"Hey, Jew, I'll give you a dressing."
"You give me 1 blow, and I'll give you 10,
Isai Fomich would respond gallantly.
"You damned scab!"
"I don't care if I am."
"You itching Jew!"
"I don't care if I am. I may itch, but I am rich. I've money."
"You sold Christ."
"I don't care if I did."
"That's right, Isai Fomich. Bravo! Don't touch him. He's the only one we've got,"
the convicts would shout, laughing.
"Hey, Jew, you'll get the whip. You'll be sent to Siberia."
"Why, I'm in Siberia now."
"Well, you'll go further."
"And is the Lord God there, too?"
"Well, I suppose he is."
"Well, I don't mind, then. If the Lord God is there, and there's money, I shall be all right everywhere."
"Bravo, Isai Fomich, you're a fine chap, no mistake,"
the convicts shouted round him, and though Isai Fomich saw they were laughing at him, he was not downcast. The general approval afforded him unmistakable pleasure, and he began carolling a shrill little chant,
"La la, la la, la,"
all over the prison, an absurd and ridiculous tune without words, the only tune he hummed all the years he was in prison. Afterwards, when he got to know me better, he protested on oath to me that that was the very song and the very tune that the 600,000 Jews, big and little, had sung as they crossed the Red Sea, and that it is ordained for every Jew to sing that song at the moment of triumph and victory over his enemies.